Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, well, you know, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Russell Brown is our guest this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to get smarter than you were before because Russell is one of the smartest guys I know. He's our business buying and selling expert. He's the author of Preparing Your Business for Sale and Strategies for Successfully Buying or Selling a Business, and also he's got an outstanding program called BizPricer that I like telling people about because I think it's one of the best tools that I've ever seen to help you dynamically, you know, literally the computer, the program takes you through all the steps to help you value your business or when you're taking a look at it. And he's worked awfully hard to help small business owners do a better job of buying and selling businesses. And he's here to talk to us about that right now. Russell, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back as always. You know, Russell, I wrote an article one time about whether to buy a business or whether to start one all new, brand new. And I thought the title of the article, I was trying to come up with a cute title for it, you know, to kind of get people's attention. And the title was Five Men in a Honda Civic. And of course, the imagery that I was trying to develop there was, you know, how many grown men can you get in a Honda Civic, you know? And yep. And somebody wedged one too many, I think, in that Honda Civic. And if you're starting a business, if you want to start a business, if you start one from scratch, and as you know, Russell, hundreds of thousands of new businesses are started every year. The SBA reports that. If you're starting a business, what you've done is you've shoehorned another guy into that Honda Civic, so to speak. You're trying to shoehorn your new business into the marketplace that's probably already pretty full of competitors.
Yeah, and you know but they talk about the economy's expanding and the small businesses is expanding accordingly and so on. But we go back to the old saying that all politics is local.
Right.
And wherever you, if you're starting a traditional business, I mean, the fact that the economy nationally is expanding and there should be more and more room for small businesses, that doesn't mean that in your particular city or town that there is opportunity that like we see on the national scene. Maybe the economy isn't expanding in your area, or maybe that type of business that you're looking to start is already saturated
right.
in your area.
So
there's lots of those kinds of things, and that fits in with your five men and a whatever it was.
A Honda Civic.
Well,
but the whole thing is, folks, if you're starting a business or if you're growing a business, one that you already have, you want to expand it a little bit. You want to add another branch or another division or whatever. You know, before you try to shoehorn another player into the marketplace, maybe you should look around and see what's already there.
And see
if there's an opportunity to acquire one of those. What do you think, Russ?
Yeah, well, I'm a great advocate of the concept of expanding your existing business through acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I say those words, you know, people conjure up images in their mind of the Fortune 500 companies.
Mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah, trying to acquire some major other company like Google trying to buy out
YouTube or whatever,
that's a good example. So, and you're talking hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars.
Oh, we're talking billions, yeah.
Yeah, and so, that's what the image is. But in reality, if you think about it, what, you know, small businesses are bought and sold every day. Primarily the marketplace, the buyers are individuals looking to get into business. But I think that, that a much overlooked area in this field is the concept of a good, solid, growing small business that wants to expand more rapidly, wants to expand without all the time lag that comes along with trying to introduce new products or get new customers or fight with the competitors. A really good way is perhaps to buy your competitor and fold them into your business,
right?
Or buy an unrelated business to have that augment it.
Exactly. Stand by, Russ. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I have a real-life story, a real-life success story about what you're talking about that I'll tell you guys about right after these messages. Russell Brown is our guest. It's 20 till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for being part of our day. Russell Brown is our guest. He is our business buying and selling guru. And Russell, give us your website, please.
Businessbookpress.com.
And they can find the BizPricer there, can't they?
They can find my BizPricer software, which is extremely popular.
Okay, now Russ, hang on a second. Folks, pay attention here. I'm negotiating for you here. Okay, Russell, it's $99, right?
For a CD-ROM?
Regular people pay is $99.
Right.
But my people are special.
Yes, they are.
If they listen to the Small Business Advocate Show, they're special. In fact, they're so special, they're worthy of a discount, aren't they?
Well, yes, they are. Absolutely.
Okay, so...
And
folks,
I always treat your folks right.
Pay attention here. We're not only going to give you a discount, we're going to load you up with some stuff. Go ahead, Russ.
Well, here's the problem.
Wait, what do you got for us, Russ?
The problem with the discount is it's all automated. The buying process is all automated. So, but what we will do, you put in the special instructions box. Heard you on the Jim Glassengame Show.
Yeah.
And we will send you my best-selling book of strategies for successfully buying or selling a business. We'll send that to you for free.
It's a good one. That's like a $40 book, isn't it?
Yes. And so it's $39.95, and you'll get that absolutely free with no additional shipping charge, right with the software that you order.
All right.
You do that, and that's what you get.
Good. Good deal. Thank you for that, folks. See how hard I work for you, ladies and gentlemen? Always trying to get you discounts. I'm always working for you. Okay, Russ. And by the way, you can find all the other things there at Russell's website, businessbookpress.com. Okay, we're talking about how to grow your business through acquisition. I wanted to tell you a little story about some people I know. In 1989, and I know this about these companies because they used to be one of my consulting clients. In 1980, and of course I take credit for all their success. In 1989, the company had $5 million in sales, and about three branches, including the headquarters, and they were a supplier, a supply house, and they had about 30-40 employees. Today, primarily by acquisition, there's one part of the business that's a little bit different, but I'm going to say most of their growth has been through acquisition of anywhere from 15 to 30, 40 employee companies. Not big acquisitions. Today, that company is doing $80 million a year in sales, and they've got 250 employees.
Wow.
By doing exactly what you said, they not one time did they shoehorn a new branch into a location where there wasn't already a business.
Right. And see, isn't that's so powerful.
And not only that, but they got ready-made employees. They got had people they could add to their brain trust. They had local, and they also had local knowledge.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I can give you one also, a much smaller example, but it also works. And people just don't seem to think of this. And here's
Let me throw another thing in there. There's one more thing.
Absolutely.
This business is now run by the three sons of the second generation family. They're now in a third generation, and because they grew it, it made room for all three sons who gave his business the father gave his business to the sons, so to speak. They passed it on. One of the things that happened is it made room for all three guys.
Yep, a dynasty.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I was just going to say, on a much smaller scale, in a local small town from where I live, there was a restaurant that was on one corner in this area, in this downtown area, and another on the opposite corner, and they feuded for years, and when the time, they were always in competition with each other, fighting over scarce employees and running specials and trying to attract each other. And
so it was like Hamburger Wars? Is that what it was?
Yeah, exactly. But they're small companies. They weren't, and they really couldn't afford this little battle. But at one point, one of the owners decided to sell. He put his business for sale. And I presented this to the other guy, the opportunity to buy this business. And at first he was like, what are you, crazy? I can't keep enough employees as it is now. I got all this problem with my suppliers. People bug that. He had a million reasons why. I mean, he thought I was crazy. And I said, think about it. If you own that restaurant over there, you can keep the same cuisine, which is non-competitive with yours. You can now share employees between the two because as one employee, if they have a shortage of employees through sickness or vacation, whatever, you can ship them, just walk across the street and work over there tonight kind of thing. And so you can ship them back and forth. If you have a cook problem, your cooks quit, or your kitchen help is a problem, you can ship them over there. I said, and wouldn't your suppliers give you a better deal if you bought?
A lot of efficiencies.
1,000 pounds of potatoes a week instead of 500 pounds, won't you? And so he started thinking about this and saying.
Yeah.
Whoa. And so ultimately, he did buy the restaurant, and all these things came to pass, and he's the happiest guy you can believe.
But the thing is, it took somebody hitting him upside the head to get his attention about it.
Oh, yeah.
He would have let it go right. He would have let that opportunity go right by him. So, folks, take the blinders off. Look around you. Wake up and smell the coffee. Tin Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Russell Brown. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Russell Brown. We're talking about buying and selling a business. Primarily today, we're talking about expanding your business through acquisition, not by opening up a brand new branch somewhere. And so folks, it's a very important way to think about it. And by the way, let me remind you about my websites, smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barrier to entry. And I hope you'll go to both of them and use them. Two different things that are there. I mean, two different kinds of websites. They all support small business, but they both deliver different kinds of content and resources. So check them out when you get a chance. Russell, every business, everybody who owns real estate, whenever a piece of property next to you becomes available for sale, you should always look into what it would take to buy it and see if you can work it out, because you need to protect your borders. You need to take advantage of that. In fact, if you've got real estate for sale, the best place to sell your real estate is to go to your neighbors and say, hey, I'm going to sell. Would you like to buy? Because usually they're your best prospects. And so in a business, if you've got a business for sale, sometimes if you can work it out. And I know it can be kind of dicey sometimes. Sometimes your competitors may be your best prospects.
Well, you know, that's exactly true. The problem comes in that, you know, you generally want to keep the fact that your business is for sale secret.
That's the dicey part.
That's the dicey part for sure. I mean, tell me how to keep a business for sale secret and then tell anybody about it. I mean, that's
right.
That's
exactly. That's the challenge. That's the essence of the challenge for the whole thing. But or maybe it's maybe you go to the next town over, the next county over, the next state over, and you talk to somebody that you find somebody who looks like they might be expanding, and let them know, you know, hey, would you like to get a foothold in my market here?
Yeah.
If you're selling, but if you're buying, if you're the one doing the expanding, it's expensive to start a brand new branch.
Right.
Almost prohibitively expensive.
I would say that this is a perfect example where you absolutely should use a business broker in either your acquisition or your sale. Business brokers can act as that blind intermediary,
right,
for the early contacts and discussions and so on. So the business broker could be representing you as a buyer even, and just approaching the businesses that you identify as, would you be interested in expansion through acquisition? You know,
and I'd like to point out, Russell, a certified professional real estate broker. I mean business broker, as opposed to a realtor who's trying to sell a business real estate and they're holding themselves out as a business selling expert just because they happen to have a piece of real estate for sale.
Right. Yeah, the problem with there's a major difference between real estate sales and business sales, and
like the difference between lightning and lightning bug.
Yes, and I don't want to denigrate my friends who are real estate agents or real estate brokers, but they just don't know the differences, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say they couldn't learn it, and there aren't some folks out there that do have that knowledge.
The point we're making is that there's a designation for business broker professionals. And you want to find people who are professionals in that area to help you with this. They understand everything. They understand about how businesses work, how they're to be sold. They understand the confidentiality part, their role as an agent for you and for the other people. It's very important.
Right. And to find a good one, there's a national organization called the Institute of Business Brokers Association. And
you got that website?
It's IBBA.com.
Say that again.
IBBA.com.
IBBA.com, okay.
Right.
.com, not .org?
Business brokers, yeah. If you just Google it, you know, you'll find it as well. So just Google
IBBA.
IBBA or Institute of Business Brokers or
and they'll find a local person who's qualified for you.
Yes, you go on there and they've got all of the folks that have taken courses with them and gotten different certifications and advanced their knowledge and have proven themselves over the years, and they've got them there, and I know they have people from
right.
every state in the country. So
Russell, we got to wrap it up. Give us your website again quickly.
Businessbookpress.com.
And folks, be sure to, when you buy the BizPricer, be sure to tell him you heard about it on my show, and he'll send you that book, that $40 book, at no cost. That's the kind of deal we worked out for you.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Russell. Good job today. We'll see you next
welcome.
Time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.